Good morning. You guys look amazing. You sound even better. And I love that old hymn. Some of you may not know that's an old hymn, kind of redone. Jesus paid it all. Couldn't say it better. It's what we're talking about today and this weekend. And we have had two extraordinary services with, I think, about 13 people that have come to know Christ already. Yeah, praise God, man. God is so good. So good. You know, I said to our oldie goldies in the last service that I challenged them the week before, man, listen, I know you guys are sort of set in your ways and your butt prints are fitting those seats perfectly. You got to bring people that need Jesus, and they did, and it was just really, really cool. And I'll get to where we're headed here in a moment. If you're a guest with us, I'm so grateful you're here. To everybody watching online, I love you. Our ministry loves you. You're our church globally, and it is a privilege to get to pastor you virtually. And we're in the middle of the 50 days of good news. Now, I got to tell you, as a pastor, as a person that writes this stuff and works on it, I start about midway through a journey like this going, oh, Lord, please, it can't be coming to an end already. I mean, it's been amazing to see what God has done. And we're going to celebrate all of that. So I'm going to tell you how in just a moment. I want you to know this, though. We have been helping businesses, restaurants, and local businesses since the very first week of 2021. And our promise, we made this commitment together that we would do this for every weekend for the year, 52 businesses and restaurants. Guys, we're going to celebrate with a video at the end. Some of you saw the one midway through. But this week, it is Art Dry Cleaners. So it's Art Cleaners. And they're my dry cleaners. I thought Christy Montoya, who goes to church here, was just really, really nice. She came to my house, picked up my dry cleaning, got it done, brought it back. But apparently they do this for everybody. Okay, so you can get your dry cleaning done that way. They're amazing. You see all the contact information. It really does make it nice to be able to just put it out on your door, and they come and get it and then bring it back. So coming up, November 27th and 28th is the conclusion to the 50 Days of Good News, and we are going to celebrate with a good friend of ours, my friend, really world-renowned comedian and just a man that's committed to Christ. I was on the phone with him for about an hour this week, and I just love his commitment. Brad Stein says it in a funny way, but he has something to say. And he's going to be here for all four services, just to give a little snippet, you know, a little taste of what's coming Sunday night. Then at 6 p.m. on the 28th, mark it down. I want everybody to be here. You're like, well, if everybody comes, where are we going to seat them? You know, that's why we have four services. Well, we've got overflow throughout the building, all closed circuit, the TV. We have the lodge. We can set up, 300 chairs over there. I want to see it filled up. And here's why, because we're going to celebrate what God has done. We're going to have a great celebration weekend, and then it's going to culminate with a lot of laughter on Sunday night. And then Brad told me, he said, I'm going to bring a special friend, and we talked about who that was. I said, oh, this is going to be cool. So you do not want to miss this. There is a story and an amazing, touching situation that's going to happen just for us this weekend of the 27th to 28th. So mark it down. No child care, because we want all the kids in here too. I'm telling you, I've seen 8-9-year-olds laughing and enjoying it and having a good time. So you're going to love it. Let me just give you a little snippet of Brad Stein and the way he does it.
Your holiday's coming. You know what the second most popular holiday is in this country? Halloween. Yeah, that's how it works. Let's weigh this out. Okay, peace on earth, goodwill towards men, and boom! Equally uplifting, don't you think, folks? I'm not a big fan of Halloween. I'm not afraid of Halloween. I'm not scared of Halloween. There's nothing on this earth that frightens me. I fear God only. But the thing that's interesting about Halloween is I think it's an inherently flawed holiday because it doesn't work the way it's supposed to. Here's how it's supposed to work. Trick or treat, I trick you. You got to give me candy. Woo! The problem is I wasn't tricked. They always come on the same day. I knew you were coming. No trick, hence no treat. It's too popular. The only way trick-or-treat would work now is if you came like in May. 3 o'clock in the morning. What is going on? Trick-or-treat. You got me. Okay. All right, here's a pickle.
It's going to be a good time. So plan on being here and for the whole weekend. It's going to be great. You know, the top of the message notes and really the sign laid it out for this weekend. Jesus paid it all. Before I jump into that, our memory verse, we're memorizing a verse. At the end of this year, we'll give you a kind of a little cool thing to have all those verses that you're memorizing and you have them with you. John 6:47 says, I tell you the truth, anyone who believes has eternal life. I mean, that was it. That was planned in advance, this verse, and it just happened to fall on this month and this weekend. And we're going to talk about what that means. Now, I have to introduce you to someone, and after the service, I'll be downstairs, not greeting up here, but down there. You'll find out why in a moment. But Brittany Barnhill has been our executive pastor and also been trying to do and doing a phenomenal job as my assistant, but that is not a department that can be split, neither of them. When you have 50 staff and a lot of responsibilities, and we have 57 staff in Peru. So Britt has moved purely into the executive pastor role, and my new assistant is Angelique Chancho. Man, I'm so blessed to have her. God worked this out in an amazing way. She has been administrator and worked in secretarial work for Adams County and Westminster High School, and unfortunately, through COVID, they lost a great worker. Let her go. And so we're grateful to have her. This is Angelique. It's her beautiful family, Joe, JL, and Cameron. Angelique there in the middle. So come down. Make sure you get a chance to see her, say hi, and meet her because she will be the point of contact anytime you're trying to reach me. All right? So I'm just grateful to have her. Also, as I looked at this message, just really praying about it, I thought of these words, follow instructions. So often, we don't do a good job of following instructions in the Christian world. We add all kinds of stuff to the instructions. Last week, I had a closet up here, and I shared how that closet represents us. And on the outside, it may look like it's all put together. When you open it up, just like me, you have brokenness. You have addictions. You have struggles. We all do. And we can cover it up, but we can't do anything about it. Good works won't work. Sins can't be erased by good deeds. So I want to take you back to an original verse we looked at the first week. I want you to look at 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 and 4. Now, anytime God says, and he obviously said this through the power of the Holy Spirit, through the Apostle Paul, anytime God says, this is the most important, it's the most important. And here it is. I passed on to you what was most important. Circle those two words. And what has also been passed on to me. For you who may not know, this is how Scripture was revealed for hundreds, even 1,200, 1,300 years. It was passed on verbatim through prophets and through God's chosen vessels. And when they passed it on, before it was even in written form, in cuneiform, on papyri, if they made one mistake, one word, one adjective for a lack of understanding in the Hebrew, they would rip it up and start all over because it was Scripture. It was God's word. It is God's word. He says, it's been passed on. So this was the essence of what? What had been written before, while Paul's writing this? Just the Old Testament. He said, it's been passed on to me that Christ died for our sins, just as the Scriptures said. He was buried and he was raised from the dead on the third day, just as the Scriptures say. That is the essence of human history. As a matter of fact, you couldn't even write a check or put a date for years without BC, before Christ, AD, after the year of our Lord. You know, they've tried to change it up. They want to change it up. They want to take Jesus out of that central focus. Regardless of how you write it, Jesus is the crux of human history. And we looked at God created us to be with him, first week. Our sins separate us from God, second week. Last week, sins cannot be erased by good deeds. We're kind of memorizing that dare to share acrostic, God, our sins, everyone, pain, everyone, life. That is the gospel. That's G-O-S-P-E-L, all right? Today, I want to talk to you about that very phrase. Paying the price of our sins, Jesus died and rose again. And not to be confused with our monthly verse, each week in our study guide, I'm giving you verses that you should memorize so that you can share your faith. I was downstairs talking again to Robert Collier, who's fighting cancer. I mean, he goes into chemo. Any of you have seen this or been through it with loved ones, they get sick really bad. It gets worse and worse and worse for about 10 days, 11 days. Then they start to feel good, and they got to go back for another treatment. And he was just sharing with me how many people he shared the gospel with. And he brought one of them to church in the last service. And he said he'd been talking to him, and he's like, I just don't get it. After the service, he goes, I get it. Look at Ephesians 2:8. God saved you by his grace. That's getting what I don't deserve, unmerited favor. When you did what? Believed. And you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. I got to share this with you real quick. I wasn't going to do it, but I'm going to. I added this last minute, which I don't do. I prepare my messages months in advance. But I was in Phoenix, and I was with Compassion International, and it was nice. We were at a resort. It was really great. We had great meetings. Suffered for Jesus on the golf course for 3 days. It was amazing. But I was able to ride my Peloton in the morning and at night. They had a Peloton there. So I would go to ride, and I'd read my Bible. Not to be holy, just because I like that, all right? And I went to read my Bible. I'm writing it, and it just hit me. It hit me that in Genesis 1:1, many of you read through the whole Bible with me this year during the summer, remember? In Genesis 1:1, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And I started thinking about verses I've memorized. I have about 10,000, maybe 11,000 verses memorized. And I was thinking in my mind, how many verses say that the plan of salvation was planned before time began? I want to show them to you real quick. Five eternal promises that really predate Genesis 1:1. Number one, Jesus. He was promised before time began. Look at this in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 20. The precious blood of Christ, who like a spotless, unblemished lamb, was sacrificed for us. This was part of God's plan, for he was chosen and destined for this when? Before the foundation of the earth was laid. Before the first man and first woman were created, long before you and I came on the scene, God had planned to send Jesus to the world to die for our sins. You see, even though he knew he wasn't creating robots, they would have free will, and even though he knew they would choose poorly, he made a way. You know what else? Eternal life. Eternal life predates Genesis 1:1. Look at Titus 1:2. God, who never lies, has promised this before time began. And it goes on in Titus 1 to say, he has promised us eternal life. You know what else? The mystery of the gospel. In the Old Testament, 39 books, it was a mystery that was being revealed to the nation of Israel and revealed to all other people through the Old Testament, but sadly, they missed it. They thought the Messiah would come and overthrow one of the Gentile nations and establish his kingdom. That's still in the future. He had to come and die. Look at 1 Corinthians 2:6. Instead, we continually speak of this wonderful wisdom that comes from God, hidden before now in a mystery. It is his secret plan to bring us into glory before the world began. You know what else? Grace. Grace predates Genesis 1:1. 2 Timothy 1:9, he gave us resurrection life and drew us to himself by his holy calling on our lives. And it wasn't because of any good we have done, but by his divine pleasure, and here it is, circle it, marvelous grace that confirmed our union with Jesus even before time began. And then we're chosen believers. People say, well, wait, don't we have to make the choice? Yes. But God knew before the foundations of the world who would. He said in Ephesians 1:4, and in love, he chose us before he laid the foundation of the universe. Let me tell you what you are, Christian. Number one draft choice. The first pick. The overall selection. You're like, wait, aren't there like millions, even billions of believers? Yeah, they were all number one picks too. God can love you like you're the only person. And if you'd have been the only person who was ever born, he'd have came and died for you. That is a profound couple of verses. all of this planned by God before time began. Now, people will oftentimes say, well, yeah, I believe in God. Man. Jesus was a pretty good dude. You know, they have the old Doobie Brothers, Jesus is just all right with me, kind of mentality. You know, Jesus was a good dude, great hippie, you know, free love, caring for people, hanging out with sinners. They love that one. Yeah, but God? No, I don't think so. Listen, let me just say this. If Jesus wasn't God, he was a lying lunatic. He should be denounced, and we should spend our lives rescuing people from Christianity because he claimed to be God over and over. Look at Colossians 1 just to support this. Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. For through him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on the earth. Everything was created through him and for him. He existed before anything else, and he holds all creation together. Jesus is God. Jesus was God. Jesus will always be God. And we think so often in a linear fashion. We're born, we live days, weeks, months, years, we get older and older, and then we die. God does not live under the human construct of time. God doesn't live under an hourglass or a phone with an alarm on it. God supersedes time and space. That means God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Jesus is before all things, and by him all things exist. Think about this. Everything that has happened and will happen is happening and has happened in Christ in this moment. You don't understand that, because neither do I, all right? It's just true. Our minds can barely wrap around that. So when you understand that, understand how profound it is to say, paying the price of my sins, Jesus died and rose again. First of all, how did he pay for my sins? We use this phrase in theological circles, substitutionary atonement. Jesus became the substitutionary sacrifice for my sins. I do get this question a lot. You probably have if you've ever shared your faith. Why do you have to die? What's all this bloodshed? Well, Leviticus 17:11 says, the life is in the blood. The life of all living creatures is in the blood. And God had commanded the nation of Israel. He said, listen, I'm going to rescue you. I'm going to rescue all people from their sin. When Adam and Eve sinned, what did he do? He sacrificed an animal. He covered their nakedness. That was the first foreshadowing of Jesus. Every sacrifice of an unblemished lamb every year by the Levitical priests in the Holy of Holies was a foreshadowing of Jesus. It wasn't paying for their sins. It was saying, this is an atonement for your sins because the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, John the Baptist said that, is coming in the future. Look at Colossians 1:20. And through him, God reconciled everything to himself. He uses an accounting word, reconciled. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. So I want you to think about this. You ever had some bankruptcy issues? You ever had some debt issues? Don't feel bad. The average American is now in $20,000 worth of credit card debt. Okay? The average. Do you know that we spend 1.9% more than we make on average annually? Okay, so that being said, I didn't mean to depress you. This is supposed to be good news. All right, let's talk about reconciliation. We were bankrupt in Christ, completely and totally bankrupt. All withdrawals, no deposits. You're like, oh, I went to church. Doesn't matter. Oh, I was a good person. Doesn't matter. You are spiritually and morally bankrupt just like me. Now, what did he say? Hebrews 10, then he says, I will never again remember their sins and lawless deeds. And when sins have been forgiven, there is no need to offer any more sacrifices. We don't need them anymore. You ever had a debt paid? Let me tell you a quick story. I remember when we were in that building over there. For most of the 90s, I was the only full-time pastor at Grace. and we were trying to bring staff on. It was a difficult place, to be honest with you. And at about 94, 95, I said, man, we got to buy this building. And the elders and the team were like, I just don't know if we can do it. Our budget was like $175,000. By the way, that was before we stopped taking an offering. Just remember that, all right? So then they commissioned me, yeah, go, please, run this building campaign. So I went to the bank, the First Bank of Arvada. Greg and I went over there, and I asked the bank president, you know, we need a loan for $650,000. Now, remember, I'm this young kid in my 20s, we're in our 20s, and I'll never forget his response. He's like, well, that's nice, son. Literally felt like a three-year-old, right? And I said, no, so can we get the loan? He goes, well. Now, he had seen that our income for the year was $150,000, 12 months. He said, I'll tell you what. If you can raise $150,000 more in 4 months above your budget, I'll give you the loan. Handshake, okay, great. I went back, I told the church this weekend, and many of you were there, I said, hey guys, got a great celebration coming. We're either moving or we're buying this building. And everyone's like, uh-oh. I'm like, yeah, we have to be out by August. So at that point, I communicated to the Church of God Seventh Day that owned the building, we're gonna buy it. I wasn't lying. I was just acting on faith, okay? So I told him, I said, here's an idea. I went to the elders. I go, here's what I'd like to do. Let's give everybody $100 to go multiply it. Remember that? Yeah. They're like, have you lost your mind? One weekend, we handed out $27,000. I was watching people take $100 bills. I knew I'd never see them again. They're like, oh, yeah, heck, I'll do that. Great. You know, they're out the door. In 2 months, I said, let's take half the offering for the building. That weekend, $75,600 came in. That was amazing. That was miraculous. To be honest, I walked out of there going, everybody gave everything they could. There's no way the other $75,000 is coming. I mean, in 2 months, my God, you're going to have to do a miracle. 2 months later, with the largest gift being $10,000, 2 months later, we took the offerings, and after the third service or on Sunday, the trustees came back in, handed me a piece of paper. I stood on the stage with the other elders, and I said, the offering today was $75,100. We raised $700 more than we needed. Everybody cheered. We praised God, and I couldn't wait to get back to the bank. Hey, sir, we did it. And you know what was so cool about him? He's not here anymore. He passed away. He said, I made a promise. It's your loan. A year and a half later, we had a very high interest rate, and I had a lady whose son and daughter-in-law, actually both her sons and daughter-in-laws, were in this ministry at the time, and I went to Hope, and I said, is there any chance you can buy out our loan? We take a loan from you, and we write it at a lower interest rate. She did. She paid off the $650,000. Then we owed her. Then we had to come back about a year later and borrow $100,000 for some other renovations. She did it. When we got ready to build this building, the bank's like, this can be tough. You owe $700,000 on that, even though it's a wash, you're not selling it. You know what she did? When she passed away, she forgave the debt. We were completely debt-free when we started building this building. We're not debt-free anymore, so we just need $4.2 million. And right now, I'm standing in front of a $10 million building project for our youth center and facility next door. We'll talk about that later. But the point is this. God canceled our debt. You ever had a debt canceled? It's amazing. Second, Jesus died for every sin I'm ever going to commit. I've ever committed. Okay? Excuse me. And look at Colossians 2, verses 13 and 14. When you think about that, it says, you were dead because of your sins and because your sinful nature was not yet cut away. What can a dead person do? If you don't say absolutely nothing, you haven't been to a funeral, okay? They can't even breathe. They're gone. He said, then God made you alive. Some translations say quickened you with Christ, for he forgave all of our sins. He canceled the record. Now, this is a legal term of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. Jesus paid for every sin with his blood. Look at 2 Corinthians 5:21. For God made the only one who did not know sin to become sin for us so that we who did not know righteousness might become the righteousness of God through our union with him. People say, well, you know, that's great, but I mean, you know, what if I continue? Well, let me show you this in Hebrews 9. If that hadn't been necessary, if it had been necessary, excuse me, that I had to have a sacrifice for every sin I've ever done or ever will do, Christ would have had to die again and again, ever since the world began, but now, once for all time. Now, that is an interesting statement in the Greek. It's an aorist tense statement. Those words mean he has canceled our debt once for all time, and we receive it once for all time. He has appeared at the end of the age to remove sin by his own death as a sacrifice. So Jesus died for every sin. He died for all my sin. And you know what else? He erased every sin I'll ever commit in the future. I literally have had people say, you can't tell him that. You can't say that. You can't preach that. I'm like, God said it. It's his plan. And this is the problem. The pastors are afraid to give up control. I'm like, you don't have control. The Holy Spirit's in control. Look at Colossians 2. You have died with Christ, and he has set you free from the spiritual powers of this world. So why do you keep on following the rules of the world, such as don't handle, don't taste, don't touch? Such rules are mere human teachings about things that deteriorate as we use them. These rules may seem wise because they require strong devotion, pious self-denial, and severe bodily discipline. Sound like religion? But they provide no help in conquering a person's evil desires. It doesn't matter if it's a sin of commission, which means I am willingly rebelling, or a sin of omission, which means I didn't know it was a sin. I did it anyways. Jesus paid it all. Look at Psalm 103, verse 12. He has removed our sins as far from us as the east is from the west. You know what that is? That's Buzz Lightyear theology. To infinity and beyond. Okay? I'm a deep preacher. All right? Look at Romans 5. Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege where we now stand, and we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. That happens the moment you're saved. I get a front row seat to watching people who embrace this. And you know what I see time and time again? I don't see people go, woo, going to heaven, I can live like hell. I see the very opposite. I'm going to heaven, how can I live more for the glory of God? Someone like Joe Nickel, who my son, Jordan, a paramedic firefighter, had a friendship and relationship with, Joe has been transformed by this powerful message. Listen to Joe's story.
This past year has been a wonderful journey, and it's changed me as a man. And if it could work for a stubborn fool like me, it can work for you. So I've been with the fire service 27 years. And so as first responders, we see a lot of trauma and things you shouldn't have to see, but someone has to intervene. And you don't really realize what's happening to you emotionally. And we have presentations. There are people out there to help us emotionally, physically, whatever we need. And we've had presentations on these organizations. But I was the guy, I'm like, I don't need that. He needs it, I don't, I'm strong. And I really didn't realize the toll it was taking. Just bit by bit, it slowly wore me down. We lost one of our members, a friend of mine, to bladder cancer. They had the services here at Grace, and I was touched. I was moved by that service. I was raised a Catholic, and I went to catechism. I'm a confirmed Catholic. But soon after that, I stopped going to church because I wasn't getting anything out of it. And Pastor Rick has such a better way of preaching the gospel that I understood it. And that's that roped me in. When he offered the gift of salvation, I took advantage of that. And I had intended to come back, but I didn't make it, excuse after excuse, and I never made it back. We'd say I hit rock bottom. The outbursts and breakdowns were becoming more frequent. I was even at the point where I was crying during television commercials. Of course, I'm picking a lot of fights with my wife, and she could see this gradual decline, and she finally said, "You got to get help." So I didn't really know where to turn, what to do, but I thought, I'm going to come to Grace Church, and at least I have 75 minutes of a good positive message every weekend. Get away from the negativity. So shortly after I came back, he was doing a sermon, and he was talking about many people think that the Bible says God will not give you more than you can handle. And he said, that's not true. What God said was he may give you more than you can handle, but Jesus will be there to help you through. Kind of like a spotter with a weightlifter. He's not going to let the weight crush you. He's going to help you through it. And that just hit home. And I like the way he puts it in words I understand. And that was my level, and I really related to that. I was baptized in April, and I haven't looked back since. So I worked with Jordan for about 10 years, and it was definitely a surprise that he was resigning from the fire department. And so I'd run into him, and he started telling me what his plans were for this Revital Colorado. And what he does is take first responders, police, firefighters on trips, outings to decompress, to relax, and just get away from the stresses. And I've gone on some of these excursions, and it's done a world of good for me. Revital's been great because you know you're with people that have gone through the same thing. And honestly, we don't talk about work very much, but you know that if something comes up, you're not going to be judged, and it's going to be confidential. Well, I just started with the Whiz Kids. I kind of talked to Shelley. I offered, she really needed some drivers, so I'm just helping driving the kids back and forth or back from the school. It gives you purpose. And that probably sounds kind of funny coming from a firefighter, first responder, that I needed to find purpose in my life, but I did, and I found it. My mood's been much better. We were hiking with some friends. One of my wife's friends told her, that's the best mood I've seen Joe in a long time. And a lot of people have noticed. My wife has noticed, my friends, my family. Everybody's noticed this change in me. And I think that the more I serve, the more healing I do, and the stronger I become. I would say I'm getting to a point where I was better than even before I started the fire service. This past year has been a wonderful journey, and it's changed me as a man. And if it could work for a stubborn fool like me, it can work for you. I encourage you, serve God, love people. It's done tremendous help for me, and it can do the same for you.
Yeah, amen. Wow. Such a cool story. I get to also be front row for my son and daughter-in-law's Revital nonprofit, helping our police officers and firefighters through these such difficult and drastic times. But listen, I want you to do something. In your bulletin, take out this little flyer that says Ministry Fair. Guys, when you come to the place in your life where you understand the gospel, many of us have done this. We've been guilty. We're like, oh, okay, Pastor, you're talking about Jesus died and rose again. You know, John 3:16, I've heard that. I'm a believer. What does that mean for my life, my marriage, my situation today? Everything. When you understand that real purpose doesn't happen until you're living God's purposes, that your job can be glorified by doing it for God's glory, that you can do anything, your sports, your schooling, but you will never do anything in your life that advances the kingdom more than getting involved with your church in both locally and globally. And right now, we don't normally have these booths set up. If you're watching for the first time or here for the first time, we don't normally have this sign media and music over here. This is two of our 9 departments. And I'm going to invite you. We're going to feed all of you today. Man, we had amazing food last night, and I'm going to have to suffer and eat every service. So, but I'll do that. Anyways, we're going to be downstairs. I'm going to be greeting downstairs. Want to meet any of you who come to know Jesus or our guests, but I want all of you to go, all right? If you can't take the steps, we have an elevator, but I'm locking the doors, all right? You have to go downstairs. If you have kids, they'll keep your children at Grace Kids until you're done. But right here, it shows you we have our care, support, and recovery ministry. That literally has 200 volunteer opportunities. I mean, this is a booklet, and of course it looks like this because my wife has operated at her pastoral skills, but it is just filled with opportunities in so many departments. Money Mentors Program, helping people balance their money if you're an accountant or just good with numbers. Reach Operations Team. You heard Joe talk about Driving for Whiz Kids. Research Team, Life Skills Team. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. Your art abilities, whatever, okay? Facilities and security. We need so many more security for the weekends and during the week. We have a very protected ministry, but we can use more. And our facilities always need help, inside, outside, okay? First impressions, guest services, all those amazing people that welcome you when you come every weekend. Our Grace Kids, 300 to 400 children every weekend that need loved, and we don't babysit. We see them as the church of the future, and we pour Christ into them and God's word. Grace students, you know, I don't think anybody has suffered more than our teenagers during this pandemic, okay? They need your support, your love. Come on out. You can serve on Tuesday nights. They have lots of events you can get involved in. If you can only do maybe a couple a year, they would love to have you. Media and music, you know, this is a lot. We have a TV show program on Sunday night, so it's Sunday at 4 p.m., and it's called Love No Matter What. It's about a 26-minute message that I preach, and we need more camera people. We need more editing people. We need more people in the sound, the lights. They would love to have you, all right? And then our music department is not just the six bands and singers that you see on the weekend with our you know, multiple pastors run by Pastor Jason, overseen and led, but musicians during the week as well. We have Tuesday night, help mentor the youth group and play in the youth group. We have Wednesday night, celebrate recovery. There are always opportunities. Man, if you have those skills, maybe you're like, yeah, I haven't done it for a while, but I really want to get back, do it, okay? And then if you're unsure where to start, downstairs in Volunteer Central, and I'll tell you what Volunteer Central is real quick, that is the place downstairs where every week before every service, we serve food and snacks and drinks and everything to our volunteers and their families to thank them. And you can be a part of that. This week, everybody gets some. But go down there. Our shape guides are there to answer any questions and help you discover what your shape is. Man, I had somebody come up to me in the last service, been in this church 20 years. He said, I'm ashamed to say it. I haven't served. I've sat on the sidelines. I'm getting involved. Where do you recommend I go? Anywhere, buddy, but go talk to those shape guides. They're the ones that can really, really help you. Guys, when you are serving God because you get to, not because you have to, and you're loving his people because it's the greatest command of all, love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor, you find fulfillment. And we have a great opportunity at ministering to the world. Look at Romans 5. I'm gonna read two more passages. I'm going to finish with this. When we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. Now, most people would not be willing to die for an upright person. Let me just tell you, upright person isn't really a moniker of good. It's a religious person. That's a better translation. Though someone might perhaps be willing to die for a person who is especially good. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. And since we have been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ, he will certainly save us from God's condemnation. For since our friendship with God was restored by the death of his son, while we were still enemies, we will certainly be saved through the life of his son. So now we can, circle this, rejoice, and then underline, in our wonderful new relationship with God, because our Lord Jesus Christ has made us friends with God. Let me explain something. Rejoice isn't just limited to, I sing praises, man, I drive in my car and say, thank you, Jesus, and I say Jesus' name at work, and I talk about Jesus everywhere. Rejoice in this passage means I am working actively on my relationship with God. I'm growing in my communication. That's prayer. I'm sharing my faith. That's what we're in the middle of. That's why I'm asking you, when you share your faith, go to the number 720-895-9000 and type shared it. Because we want to celebrate every person who comes to Christ. And if that person trusts in Jesus, just text the number and put chose it. Because they've made the decision. Guys, I've had some of you say, well, you know, I'm not really into the number thing. Well, good. I am. Because every number represents a soul. And we want to celebrate that. So type it up, okay? And there's four things that the Bible says you should know now that you've trusted in Jesus. Now, I don't normally should on you, all right? I know there are people that should on their friends and should on their neighbors and should on everybody. I don't do that. Now, I'll get emails. I'm saying should, all right? But when God says you should, pay attention to it. Look at four realities that really change our life. And they all come from, you can read these verses on your own. They all come from 1 Peter, all right? Number one, I should claim every promise in the Bible intended for me. Every promise. For instance, there are promises in the Old Testament that have a timeless principle, but they were specifically for the nation of Israel. I don't get to run over to Israel and claim the land, okay? However, Joshua 1:8 says, meditate on the word of God day and night, and be sure and careful to do everything that's written in it. Then your way will be prosperous and you'll have great success. That is a timeless principle. That works for all of us. If we put God's word at the forefront of our lives and we do this because we love Jesus, he says you will have a satisfying life. Two, I should say no to sin because it's pleasing to God and best for me. I don't say no to sin because I have to. I say no to sin because I can now, because I have the Holy Spirit in me, because I have a great deal of gratitude. That's what we're serving God out of, an attitude of gratitude, not a compulsion of guilt and shame. We just got saved from that. We don't need more of it, church. Look at this. I should build the healthiest and happiest relationships possible. Now, you can't control the people in your life. Don't try to. Can't control a spouse that doesn't know Jesus or coworker or friend. But when you love the way Jesus loves, you would be amazed what it does to them. I'm going to share that next week. It's going to be very powerful. I should show unconditional love no matter what. I love driving in and seeing our vans out there, the new paint job. Love no matter what, Grace Church. You know, we may not agree with you in many areas. We may not agree, you know, we might disagree about politics or disagree about, you know, minor issues in the Bible, or we might, you know, disagree about other things, but we will always demonstrate love no matter what. And that is something so needed today because we have a society that's divided by politics. And we have got so many Christians on both sides. I'm not talking Democrat and Republican. I'm talking on both sides of the issues right now. And they're so hateful, so filled with vitriol. And the problem is this. We should be able to talk about anything, including our disagreements. Let the church set the standard. Now, Jesus in John 10 said this. He said, the thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. The thief is Satan. But my purpose is to give them, circle two words, a rich and satisfying life. Now, he's not talking about wealth. If God blesses you with wealth, great. He blesses you with it so you can be more abundantly generous. But he says, I want you to have a satisfying life. And he says that right before he goes in to verse 11, where he says, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep. Amen. Now, this passage really lays out the gospel in just three verses. Jesus said this. He said, and I give unto them eternal life. That is grace. That's what that phrase, I give unto them eternal life. And they will never perish. That is salvation from hell, a Christless eternity. They'll never perish. Neither will anyone pluck them from my hand. That's eternal security. I'll talk about that on the last week. I and the Father are one. the deity and triune God, all in those verses. And he says, you receive it by believing Jesus died and rose again. Because paying the price of our sins, Christ died and rose again. Let me have you bow your heads and close your eyes for a minute. If you're here or you're watching, please don't turn this broadcast off. I have a message for you right after this. But if you're here and watching and have never put your trust in Jesus, maybe you're like, yeah, I believe in him. I thought he was a good person. I try to do a good job. And you're not trusting in Jesus alone. Today's the day. You do not want to pass up the greatest gift of all. Right where you sit, just don't bother the person next to you. Just out of respect, if you're trusting in Jesus, you can say something like this to God. In your mind, God, I admit it, I'm a sinner. I admit I've done things wrong. But I believe today that Jesus Christ died for me 2,000 years ago. That he paid for all of my sins, past, present, and future. And that 3 days later, he rose again. And I received the free gift of salvation. Thank you, God, for saving me. Friend, welcome to the family of God. You're a child of God. You're going to heaven. You have a purpose for living. You have a family. And I want to pray for you. I'm not going to ask you to come up or stand up or come forward, anything like that. But in a moment, with heads bowed and eyes closed, if that made sense, I'm going to have you raise your hand and put it right back down. Just letting me know. So you say, today I believe and I receive. Would you slip your hand up? God bless you, brother. God bless you, guys. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you. I see your hands back there. God bless you, my friends. God, wow, praise God. Man, I just saw probably 10 or 12 hands. I want to say this to you. You're the reason I will do this till I die. You're the reason this ministry exists. Because we get to see lives transformed just like ours. Christians, this is why you should serve. Because there are so many babies being born into Christ every day that need loved and nurtured and cared for, and you have the ability. Father God, thank you for the praise of your name. In these moments when we see people come to salvation, we know it's all you, Lord Jesus. And Father, we give you the glory and the honor. And I just ask now, Lord, that as we prepare to go to this ministry fair, that you would just open our hearts to the willingness, to the gratitude we need to serve you in our ministry. Father, this ministry cannot exist without these people. Loving, caring, and serving, it would be impossible. So Lord, I pray just a great blessing over this time in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, don't go anywhere. No music. We're getting ready to be dismissed. If you are interested in music or media, I'm going to have you get up right away and come up to here and just sign up. Listen, you're not signing your kid away. You're not signing in blood, unless you want to sign your kid away. I don't know if you want to do that. But you are signing up saying, I'm interested. I want to talk more. And they'll get in touch with you, all right? So those are the places to go, and then go downstairs and get food. There's plenty of food for you, all right? There'll be food for everybody. And then for everyone else, as you get up, dismissed, go downstairs. And if you came to know Jesus, text the word believe to 720-895-9000. You're watching online. We'll get you all the goodies that we give to our new believers and our new guests. If you're a guest, same number, type guest. And if you share your faith, make sure you type it in there and let us know. For you who are guests or new believers, I'm going to be downstairs. I have my new assistant with me, and you get to meet her. And I would love to just give you a hug. And right next to me downstairs will be a brand new Bible for you, a gift bag, my book, my latest book, 10 weeks of coffee and a coffee mug. We want to give that to you. We love you. All right? So I'll see you downstairs. Let the media and music people come on up, and I can't wait to talk to you. All right?